the winning sound of Network Sports.
And a very pleasant good evening to you, and welcome to another very special edition of Mason and Guests, heard on Voice of Barbados. You can call us at 424-1790. You can send a WhatsApp to 253-4679 or an email to cricketmason@yahoo.com. Mason and Guests is brought in association with the good friends at ASA Fieldwork Rum, the best shot of the day.
Yes, it feels like rum. If anybody feels they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 da, pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, we're getting closer and closer to the World Cup. Indeed, I can just begin to feel it. Yes, I don't hear a lot of promotion and commercials as yet, but of course, as it gets closer, you will expect that. But I'm really looking forward, there's no doubt about that, to indeed the World Cup and the West Indies. Let's hope they can do well, because it is important that the West Indies do well in this tournament. There's no doubt about it. We want to win, as they would say, the whole hog. And what a joy it would be from Kingston, Jamaica, right through to Georgetown in Guyana, if come finals we can lift the World Cup for the third time. I think we'll be very, very happy about that. There's no question about that, and we're really looking forward to that. We're going to continue to discuss that. Of course, we note with interest that Jason Hold is getting some runs and Kemar Roach getting wickets. Would there be any doubts about these gentlemen getting into the West Indies squad as the team prepares after the World Cup to go to England? That is a question that we will certainly want to ask. And we want to congratulate Queen's College, yes, indeed, for winning the plate. This is an unbelievable story, you know, because there's a 14-year-old boy captaining the Queen's College side. He's the youngest member of the side. In fact, he joins us on Mason and Guests. We're going to talk to him very, very soon. And, you know, I was talking to him just before we came on the show, and it's a remarkable story. Remarkable story indeed with this young man. And, of course, Mason and Guests will find these youngsters and bring them on the show. So he's in the Queen's College side. He's the youngest member of the side. In fact, he joins us on Mason and Guests. We're going to talk to him very, very soon. And, you know, I was talking to him just before we came on the show, and it's a remarkable story. Remarkable story indeed with this young man. And of course, Mason and Guests will find these youngsters and bring them on the show. So we're going to be talking to him pretty soon. He's already on Zoom. We hope to go to Jamaica and talk to Nikita Miller. We also hope to hear from Sir Curtly Ambrose. And a little bit later on in the show, I note with interest that Enoch Lewis is going to be challenged for the presidency of the Leavers Board. Yes, indeed. And Carlisle Powell is the man who's going to challenge him. He's the vice president of the Leewards Board. He's the president of the Nevis Cricket Association. And we had a situation recently in Jamaica where Billy Haven, the president, was challenged by his vice president. And we all know what happened. He really was beaten, as they say, badly. So we got to wait and see what happens. Lewis has been there for quite a long time, being challenged by his vice president. And we do have a situation where a little bit later on the show, Carlisle Powell has consented to join us. Of course, Mason and Guests goes near and from far. Philo Wallace is with me. Hello, Philo. Are you well, Philo? You look like a bishop this evening, Philo. What is that you're wearing? How are you, my friend?
How are you doing? Are you well? Good evening to you and your many listeners, obviously, Dr. Ford and your guests. Mm-hmm. I'm well. I just want to say hello to Shirley Hart, who I spoke with today in heaven. My son, Aiden, who is 19 today.
19 today. Happy birthday to him. Happy birthday.
Yeah, he's 19. He will get the gift next week. Yeah, Joe, it's fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. Obviously, the T20 World Cup is just around the corner. There's a squad, obviously. There's a squad in Antigua going through some preparation and stuff like that for the T20 World Cup. But first, obviously, they're preparing also for South Africa. The venues are starting to take shape, and a lot of stuff has been happening. I saw Carlos Baffin the other day up in Canada with the World Cup with Philip Spooner and some of the Canadian players who are in the World Cup squad, obviously at the Blue Jays Stadium, and trying to promote cricket up there and getting the fans to rally around Team Canada when their campaign start. Pakistan are also in Ireland. They won that T20 series. So a lot is happening. The Englishmen who were in the IPL, they're right back in London to assemble at least to prepare for a series against Pakistan that starts at, I think it starts at the weekend. So there's a lot happening. Teams are getting ready for that very important, very big ICC T20 World Cup in the Caribbean and the USA. So obviously all eyes on Drew be on the Caribbean and the USA, and hope that we can put on a good show, and we mean in the Caribbean and the USA, and really, you know, make this World Cup special, and particularly be even special with a capital S, if we can win it. And the captain, Coach Darren Sammy, obviously he lifted the World Cup twice as captain, and he would obviously love to lift it as coach. It's going to take a lot of effort. There's a lot of preparation that will be going into the teams. I listened to a video clip today, and he said the guys who were in the IPL, who their franchises that will qualify for the Final Four, those guys will stay because they'll be in readiness for the World Cup, and we have to believe what he says, and I hope that that happens. I know a lot of our players did not play in the IPL or get opportunities, so I hope that when they come back to the Caribbean, that they go straight into serious practicing and try to get their skill levels up, because you don't want to go into a World Cup, Andrew, and people are out of form. They need to be peaking at the right time, and the obviously the zones are quite tough, and the games are very, very close, so fitness is also going to be important.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Dr. Ford, you heard Philo. Your reaction.
Yeah, hi, Philo and all of our panelists and listeners. Yeah, well, we're looking forward to what's upcoming, the World Cup and then the home series. So a lot of exciting things to look out for. I heard, Andrew, at the top of the show, you were hoping for a West Indies win, and I guess we all hope for a West Indies win, but, you know, it will take some effort. Mm-hmm. It will take some effort, some consistency, I guess. Playing against South Africa, we'll see how the team gels. One of the issues is that the team isn't getting to train together because some are at the IPL. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't think our preparation is what it should be. And Philo had alluded to this last week. And I think it is a significant point, because we see some of the smaller teams coming together and making their preparation. So we have to question if letting players remain, if they're still in the hunt at IPL and doing other things, if this is the best preparation. I don't know if the coach agrees with that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the good thing is that the grounds are coming together. I guess we're getting closer to greens now. So, Andrew, you'll be happy. The grounds are looking better, and mm-hmm. we'll be ready for the World Cup. Mm-hmm. And we got our partner when it comes to the internet and high speed stuff too, and, you know, so mm-hmm. everything's coming together pretty well. So I'm excited about the upcoming season and the World Cup.
Yeah, well, in fact, I passed by Weymouth not too long ago, and there was a big water truck there. You know, we're really in some trouble in terms of the lack of rain, and I know that they're trying to make sure that Weymouth is in order. Have you passed by Weymouth recently, Dr. Ford, in that big SUV that you drive?
Yeah, I had my windows up, but it's looking better. I missed the water truck, but, you know, I know no stone is being left unturned to make sure that we are ready. And I'm getting good reports from some of the other grounds, even though I haven't been to them. And mm-hmm. and, you know, Lynch seems to be happy, and the ICC seems to be happy. So
yeah, everything is looking good.
We still got time. Everything's going to work.
Is looking good. Yes, in fact, we heard from St. Vincent, as you know, the president Dougal James was on the show. We heard a couple of weeks ago from the Minister of Sports in St. Lucia, and a little bit later on the show, I hope to speak to Akeem Green, who is a noted journalist, about the preparations there in Ghana. As you know, they're going to be hosting very much a semi-final. And I listened to the news this afternoon, and the Minister of Tourism there in Trinidad and Tobago was saying that the country is looking to, is expected to make over $200 million. I mean, that will be certainly good for the economy. Nikita Miller from Jamaica has joined us. We're going to talk to him very soon. But let's spend some time with a young man. He's very much with us, Seth Smith, the captain of the successful Queen's College team in the Division II competition. They call it the plate. That game was actually on the weekend on Saturday. I didn't get a chance to see it. In fact, I was away. I just only came back to the country yesterday. But I certainly watched the stream provided by our good friend Stephen Leslie, who's done a wonderful job there in ensuring that we get to see the cricket. And I certainly followed the stream, and I was quite happy with the performance of Queen's College. Hello to you, Seth. How are you, my friend? Are you well?
Hello, thanks for asking.
Okay, good. All right. So this is the captain, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. This is the captain of the successful Queen's College team. You must be quite a happy man, Seth, with the victory in the finals against the team from North Stars.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Always good to be able to come up with a win.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. What's responsible, in your view, for the success of Queen's College?
I think really it was just a good team effort all around. Mm-hmm. Everybody in the team, everybody played their part.
Mm-hmm. And you're the youngest member of the team, and you're the captain. That's interesting. Were you surprised when you were given the job as captain, Seth?
At first, yes, but then the management team would have told me the reason for me being captain, and I thought it was a good chance to get some captaincy experience, and yeah.
November the 24th, 2009. So some of the guys playing with you, you're 14. Some of the guys will be what, 15, 16? I mean, a little bit older than you are?
Correct.
Okay. Now tell me, I'm not going to keep you too much longer because I know that you're a very busy man. Tell me about some of the players for Queen's College that would have really done well. Some of those players that helped you to lift the crown.
Nicholas Tarn, Bryson Clark, Jean-Dre Baptiste, Raphael Lovell, Reardon Bellamy, Imani Roach, mm-hmm. pretty much. Everybody, as I said, everybody that played a key role in the for the team, mm-hmm. and it resulted in us winning the entire mm-hmm. tournament.
Yeah, well, and when you look at your road to success, you lost the first game against Isolation Cavaliers, but that didn't daunt you, Seth.
No, not at all. We actually thought of it as a way to come back stronger and to mm-hmm. build on that.
Mm-hmm, indeed.
Because most people would see it as a setback, but as something I like to say, a setback leaves room for a major comeback.
Indeed. Oh, that's very well said indeed. Very well said indeed. I hope that Paul Mayers heard that. That could make primetime sports tomorrow morning, the way you said it. Beautiful language as well. Then you went on to beat some big guns. I mean, Holders Hill Greens has got a good side there. You know, Comrade Hunt, you beat Wanderers. And then you went to the finals, and those guys from St. Lucie, Barbados' only female parish, felt your wrath. Now, let's look at the finals. I watched it in the stream, once again, thanks to the BCA. Nicholas Thorne, at the top of the innings, batted well, made 50, and that was certainly the difference, because you restricted your opponents to under 125. How good was that performance?
It was an excellent performance. As I was saying, he was doing pretty well throughout the entire tournament. Mm-hmm. He was scoring quick runs that he taught for us. So we just was backing him to do as he did on that day.
Indeed. Wonderful. Wonderful. And you're the keeper in the side? You're the keeper?
Correct.
Okay. Well, you get a chance to see what's going on. The keeper, a very, very pivotal position behind the stumps. What part of Barbados are you from, Seth?
St. Peter.
You're
mile and a quarter St. Peter.
Mile and a quarter St. Peter. Fellow, do you know where mile and a quarter is?
Yes, Andrew. I know where mile and a quarter is. I just want to congratulate Seth I watched it on stream as well. I think what also catched my attention was your fast bowlers. And your skills in rotating those fast bowlers. That thought process of when to pull them, when to bring them back, and the lines that you bowl. An experienced side like North Stars to get success.
I can't take full credit for the choice of bringing back the fast bowlers, because it did take a bit of advice from the coaches, but it was a decision that was a great one, and we saw that as it progressed that the North Stars batsmen weren't scoring off of the pace bowlers.
What's your coaching staff? Who are your coaches?
Yeah, the coaches. Who are
the coaches that help you?
Head coach would be Barry Ford.
Barry Ford.
But we also have a manager. We also have a manager who will be Raphael's father.
Okay.
Who would help over the cricket a lot.
This Raphael Lovell.
Are you still?
Yes, please.
Okay. Yes, fellow.
And you still don't have a pavilion at Queen's College, do you?
No pavilion. Pardon?
You don't have a pavilion at Queen's College?
Well, we do, but it is not in full use at the moment.
So what I'm getting at is that facilities sometimes we overemphasize the importance of facilities rather than looking at the real interest in the players. I think when you have committed players, like what we saw on Sunday with the Queen's College group, is that they lack a facility where they a pavilion, but they went out there and they played cricket. In the way in which cricket is to be played, they lost their first game, but they had enough confidence and belief in themselves. And you, as a leader, you use that defeat to lift and inspire your side to win. So I think it is one hell of an effort to what you have achieved, and I do hope that things can work out for Queen's College to push your cricket further. And I hope that you continue to lead, because at 14 and to lead a team into victory tells me that you have leadership skills, and the management saw those skills in you have to be commended. And you know your family members need to work and develop you to be a leader. That's what is lacking in our cricket, leadership. And you can mold yourself, Seth, to become a future Barbados captain. All levels. Don't settle for one level. At all levels.
Beautifully said. Beautifully said.
You have to look to push yourself a little further.
Seth, take that advice from a man who knows.
Thanks for the advice.
All right. Stay with us.
Thank you very much.
Okay. But stay with us. We're going to wrap with you pretty soon. Darren Powell has joined us in the Keita Miller, two wonderful Jamaicans. We're going to be talking to them very, very soon. But let's pause for business calls. Mason and Guest brought in association with the good friends at ASFE White Rum, the best shot of the day.
ASFE White Rum. If anybody feels they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ASFE is the best shot of the day. Boy! Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, we're talking to Seth Smith, who is the captain of the successful Queen's College side, second division cricket. We call it the plate competition. They won on the weekend, Saturday to be precise, and it was a good victory against North Stars in the end. Turned out to be pretty simple, thanks to a wonderful knock from Nicholas Thorne, who made 50 and set up the win. Just before you go, Seth, are you at any in terms of trials for the under 15? Are you at trials?
I would have went away with the under 15, Barbados under 15 team this year, which we also won that tournament. That regional tournament.
Wonderful. And how was that experience?
It was a good experience. It was my second time, and it was just about playing my role to the best of my ability.
I see. So, yeah, 14. So you would have done that the second year at 13, which is commendable. What about family support? Any brothers and sisters, mummy and daddy, they're keen in relation to your cricket? Did they come and watch you?
Yeah, of course. They try to watch it as much as they can, and they also would support me in terms of my gear and everything. So they're probably responsible for all the things I have to be able to play cricket.
Wonderful. Who's your favorite cricketer at the international level?
If I had to choose, I would probably go with Shea Hope.
Mm-hmm. Queen's College boy like yourself, huh? Why Shea Hope? Why would you choose Shea Hope?
Just like the way he goes about his game. I think he's a pretty elegant batsman. And also being a wicketkeeper batsman myself, I believe that I could look up to him.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to make cricket a profession? Or are you maybe looking in other directions?
No, cricket is always the main goal, but I do always have a plan B. But for now, cricket will be my main
main thing. What's that plan B? To become a doctor, a lawyer, or a...
Plan B right now?
Mm-hmm.
Not trying to go as hard and overwork myself, probably just trying to learn a trade and work in business of carpentry.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. That's a very interesting choice. Why carpentry? I know they make a lot of money there. Ronnie Clark certainly does as a good carpenter. Well, why carpenter? That's very interesting.
Me personally, I just want to like to be able to build a lot of things and use my hands a lot. So I feel like a good profession that I could follow.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Dr. Ford, before Seth goes, any questions for the young man from Queen's College?
Good night, Seth. You know, going through the tournament with the team, how do you keep together guys that are on the fringes or guys that aren't performing that well, even though the team itself is progressing and doing well? How was the camaraderie in the squad?
The camaraderie was brilliant. As I said, we play as a team very often, and we always encourage each other to lift each other's heads and to keep on moving forward. As I said, each setback leaves room for a major comeback. So that's how we try to go about it at Queen's College.
Yeah, well, Queen's College is a big academic institution for, I guess, for all those who did the 11 plus and maybe those who've gone. Tell us about how important the sports program is at the school.
The sports program is one that has been respected, I would say, for a number of years. I think we've been in the conversation of winning many different titles in terms of cricket, football, and even netball, volleyball. So I think the sporting program has been excellent so far over the past couple of years.
I see. All right. That's it, Doc, for the young man? Or
yeah, well, best of luck to the youngster. And pursue all your goals and keep going forward.
Right. Well, we want to thank you. Final question. I know your young man just is 14. What advice would you have for young cricketers like yourself? Final question.
Well, just to keep working hard and always believe in yourself. Don't ever give up on your dreams and goals. And that's it, really.
Right. Thank you very much indeed, Seth Smith, captain of the successful Queen's College team within the second division competition, a man from Mile and a Quarter, St. Peter. Of course, you come from a parish that would have had one of Barbados's finest prime ministers, Owen Seymour Arthur, and he actually is a Mile and a Quarter man as well. Born November 24, 2009, just age 14, and leading the Queen's College team to victory. Seth, have a good evening. It was a pleasure having you on Mason and Guest.
Thank you very much. You too.
Okay, wonderful. Young man, and it's really good to highlight those young people, and we wish him well. Okay, let's go to Jamaica and talk to Nikita Miller. Hello, Nikita. How are you, my friend? Nikita, where are you? Are you in Kingston? Mm-hmm. How are you?
I'm at home. I'm actually at home. Yeah, I'm in Kingston. Good evening, gentlemen.
Yeah, good evening. Good evening to you. Now, tell me, the West Indies preparing for battle in the T20 World Cup. Do you think they can win it?
Listen, you're playing at home. It's always, you know, that possibility of winning is always there, especially as a former champion. So, you know, they will have that confidence. And there are players in the team that are used to winning championships with their various different franchises. So you have winners within the team, right? So and you have a coach who is the winning captain.
Yes.
Double winning captain as well.
So yes, indeed.
They will draw all the confidence from him as well, and he's that sort of character as well. He looks to to try and drive his team. And, you know, he's a motivator and all. So they'll be thinking and believing that they have the wherewithal and the team to win the tournament.
Mm-hmm, indeed. Well, fellow Jamaican Darren Powell has joined me. Hello, Darren. You once used to be a rice farmer there in Jamaica. That's what fellow Wallace told me. Are you still a rice farmer, Darren? Is that true? You're muted. We got to hear you. We got to hear you. Dr. Ford, can you help Darren, the rice farmer?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes, I am here.
Loud and clear.
Is nice. That okay now?
Yeah, loud and clear. Are you still a rice
yes,
farmer?
Yes, good evening to everyone.
Are you still a rice farmer?
No. No. I'm still in the ground provisions and the livestock, but no rice.
No rice. I see. So what do you grow, Dan? I understand you grow some wonderful yams there. You know, you get some good yam there in Jamaica. What do you grow?
Well, yes, I am at the moment reaping yellow yam and Scotch bonnet peppers. And now planting watermelons and pumpkins.
You said yellow yam.
Yes, ma'am.
I know fellow Wallace is a big yellow yam man. And what's the name of the peppers again? What? Scotch what?
Scotch bonnet peppers.
Scotch bonnet. Have you ever heard of those, Ronnie? Of course. You heard of Scotch bonnet. We get them here in Barbados. Do we call them the same name as well?
I call them hot.
Wonderful indeed.
Too hot.
Too hot indeed. All right. Now, Darren, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. Of course, fellow Jamaican Nikita Miller is on the show as well. The West Indies' chances of winning the T20 World Cup. Do you think we can win it?
Well, yes. What my greatest concern is how well they start at the beginning of the tournament. When you look at the composition of the team, is that we are not lack of talent, but if you do not do the right things, I heard someone said over the weekend that if you are using mud and no cement, you cannot have a combination to get it hard. Now the West Indies team have a lot of time.
We've lost them.
No, the first round, when you look at it, there it's two teams from that zone will get out of the competition.
Yes.
And I believe that West Indies have all the opportunities to get out of it. And once they get themselves into high gear, fine-tune their and get into the next round, I believe that they can win this World Cup. West Indies, Pakistan, Australia are my pick for this World Cup.
Say that again. West Indies.
Pakistan and Australia.
And Australia. Why Pakistan?
And Australia.
That's a very unpredictable side. Where would you go with Pakistan, Darren? Can you tell me?
Pakistan, to me, plays better on conditions like ours. They're used to that kind of thing. That almost the same kind of deck is in Pakistan. India at the moment, where everybody's talking about India, but India is, to me, the least of the apostles right now. Ooh. Australia is one who will always fight. We saw that in the last World Cup. That don't care what, they will find a way to come through. So I believe those are the three teams who are going to be very competitive in this World Cup. That's why I have West Indies now at the number one spot in winning the World Cup.
So what about the defending champions? You haven't called them, Darren. Have you forgotten them?
No. If you look at the nature of the way they are playing, I don't think these conditions will suit them. Australia is.
We're missing Darren. Maybe he's on his way from his rice farm up to Kingston. Let's see if we can get him. All right. Let's hope that he can sort that out.
To 15-20 and dominate cricket. Any territory. So if you can get them out of the loop, you know, it is good. But the defending T20 champion, which is England, I don't think they have a chance. I don't think they're close indeed. Jaffa Archer is a big comeback for them.
Right.
But he alone cannot do it.
You got Mark Wood, the banker on
New Zealand. New Zealand is a team which is more competitive now than the English team right now.
I see. Philo, your reaction, anything that Nikita or Darren said?
Well, Andrew, they said a mouthful. obviously, they're two former first-class cricketers and test cricketers.
Mm-hmm.
The national cricketers, I say good evening to both of them. When you look at the World Cup, Andrew, you have to pick. You look at, I don't think you can rule out England.
Mm-hmm.
I think England has a settled T20 squad, and they have players that are looking to do well. And that is important in T20 cricket. Similar to West Indies or Pakistan, Australia. Australia, again, if this, Mr. March is their captain, so, you know, they have to work around him. But you have to pick players that want to do well, and England have a lot of players that want to do well. Josh Butler will want to obviously make amends of the last tour that they came here, that they lost.
Mm-hmm.
He, his reputation, he's not their coach,
mm-hmm.
From the new coach from Australia. He will also want to make amends to show his worth. So I don't think you can count out England. And they've been to the Caribbean so many times that they're accustomed to the conditions in the Caribbean. They were just in the Caribbean last year. A lot of them just played in India. Mind you, some of them played the IPL in night games, and they had a long tour of India as well, some of them. So
mm-hmm.
I think the conditions in the Caribbean, England are accustomed to at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So the World Cup, Andrew, when you look at, to me, I think it's a West Indies. I don't think you can rule out India, although Darren did not consider India. But I think India also is going to have a good account of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to remember that Rohit Sharma wants to prove a point. He's soon going to be out in the national cricket, Andrew, yes, and these guys can lift teams. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Rohit Sharma and then can lift teams. And Rahul Dravid is going to leave the job as a coach. And those guys want to leave on a high.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one thing about players from India. They want to always leave the cricket on a high, on an upward trajectory. So they'll be looking to prove their worth outside of India, not being able to win an international tournament for a very long time in India as well, with all this talent and skill that they have.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, know how big the IPL is. So India also have can also create some mm-hmm. some concern in the region in relation to the T20, because they play T20 cricket really well.
Mm-hmm.
You can't underestimate the Indians at all. They will have the support. Although this T20 World Cup is going to be in the Caribbean and the USA, the Indians are going to have a lot of support, and the Pakistanis are going to have a lot of support, Andrew.
Mm.
And you have to be careful. That crowd support, as Bam Harvey to call it, the 13th man
mm-hmm.
or the 12th man, that also is significant to teams.
Yes.
And I think for West Indies, you need to rally around West Indies to lift them as well, to give them the impetus and the belief that they can do it. I think that going into Ghana for West Indies for the first two games, they need to win those two games and win those games convincingly to give them momentum for Afghanistan and New Zealand. New Zealand obviously played very quiet, but very smart cricket as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of tricks to this T20
mm-hmm.
cricket, Andrew, and we just can't rule. You know, you're going to see it on the day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to see how the teams play on the day and who looks like the team that is coming into peak mode. Because if you peak too early, you can get messed up. So you've got to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about doing the right things at the right time consistently. Mm-hmm. And that is going to be the key for any team success.
4417 90, the lines are open. Give us a call and participate. This is Mason and Guest. I'm Andrew Mason, along with, we've got Dr. Andrew Ford, Philo Wallace. They're always with me every Tuesday. Darren Powell, of course, from Jamaica, former West Indies fast bowler. We've got Nikita Miller, former West Indies cricketer as well. And Philip Spoon has joined us. And we've also got Akeem Green, the noted journalist, because we really want to hear what's going on as far as Guyana's preparations are concerned. Just before we come back to you, Nikita, let's go to Guyana and speak to Akeem Green. Hello, Akeem. How are you? Akeem?
Hello.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Andrew. Good evening to all your listeners as well.
Good. Now, first of all, how is the weather? Is it raining cats and dogs and pigs in Georgetown?
It's raining cats, no dogs as yet. But as you know, whenever there's cricket around, there's rain in Guyana. But, you know, Providence is touted and it's proven to be one of the better outfields in the Caribbean. So I'm sure Habib and his staff has it under control. But in and about, there's a lot of rain on most days these days in Guyana.
I see. Now, what about the preparations, though? We've heard from Barbados. Roland Holt is expected to join us a little bit later on the show. Are you preparing well in terms of making sure that everything is fine by the time you host your first match? Tell us about that, Akeem.
Yeah, certainly from my last visit at the stadium, works are progressing. I know certainly they would have loved it to progress further, but I know Guyana will make a way to ensure by the specific deadlines that they would have that they meet that criteria. This isn't the first time, you know, Guyana would have been hosting these kind of mega events, but certainly given the standard and where I guess hosting ICC tournaments or these tournaments general, it has moved from just having a good outfield or a good dressing room. There's lots of stuff now in for, you know, spectators, hospitality and these things. And certainly those are the aspects I can tell you that, I guess, and from a Guyana perspective, they're trying best to ensure that they can accommodate that kind of setup. Nice. Because as I mentioned, cricket is not just about, you know, on the field. It's more about, you know, having that experience when you enter the stadium and enjoying yourself. So I think those are the areas of great focus now in Guyana. And I think before that deadline, whenever it comes, I'm quite positive that, you know, the stadium and all the practice venues would be ready.
Just give an idea as to the practice venues. Everest is one?
Yeah, Everest is one, the iconic border, and the Police Sports Club at Eve Leary is also a practice venue, three practice venues.
I see, and they're in close proximity, I would imagine, to each other. I mean, I think
Police is in close Everest. Yeah, with the exception of border, which is obviously more heading to South Georgetown, one of us is Central Georgetown. Police, and you would know Everest.
Yes, I do.
Our tour story, and generally where the teams usually stay, based on previous experience, they're obviously very close to those areas where the team usually stay as well. So it would just be border, just a bit away from Everest and Police.
Now, are you behind in any way, though, in terms of your preparations? I always hear this thing that you're going to be there when the bell is tolled. But can you tell me, if you do know, are you ahead of the game? Are you slightly behind? Did you get a green? Did you get orange? Did you get red?
I can't give you a color, Andrew. Certainly not. I know the president of Guyana, Dr. Mahamudu Fernali, was recently, you know, at the stadium himself, doing inspections and ensuring that all the criteria is met. But I can't give you an estimation as where Guyana is. But I know from my visit, from my, you know, my peripheral seeing that in terms of on field, you know, they're right there. Obviously, I wouldn't be able to access certain areas to know exactly from a structural standpoint how far they are. But I know from seeing when I was there that there were a lot of persons working to ensure, you know, the facility is ready for that, you know, that first match on June 2nd, West Indies and Papua New Guinea.
Of course.
I want to ask Akeem a question. Yeah, Akeem, yeah. Obviously, what kind of work going on at these venues, particularly Providence? Have they relayed to the square? What is the work at the police ground?
In terms of the square, that was relayed quite some time ago. So I think from what I saw mostly, and then now the rain has been a blessing for Guyana. As a person may not know, we had quite a drought. So now the outfield is looking very lush again. So that's a blessing for Guyana perspective. But the kind of major works that is ongoing is from an aesthetic standpoint, ensuring that, you know, the standard up to scratch, and ICT standpoint as well, ensuring that, for example, facilities for media, you know, ICC hospitality, those are the major works generally ongoing. But from a structural standpoint, Guyana outfield, lights and these kind of stuff would have already, you know, been in place already. But for me, most of the stuff happening in Guyana is from an aesthetic standpoint, ensuring the stadium, you know, looks good to welcome, you know, lots of visitors in the country.
I see. Well, thank you very much indeed. Stay with us, Akeem. Let's go to Nikita before we come to Philip. But Nikita, you're missing out on all of this, though. I mean, Jamaica, Didn't even bid, really. What's the reaction in the country to all of this? No cricket in Jamaica. Isn't that unbelievable? Tell me, Nikita.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of pushback from you know, various different individuals in the country. Where, you know, they're voicing their disappointment in not getting any cricket from, you know, such a world event. You know, cricket is such, I've always said it, that cricket is our national sport here in Jamaica, and I'm sure for the rest of the Caribbean as well. And it's very disappointing, you know, for me personally, not to have any cricket here. But I've been thinking this week, and I'm when I look at the state of our cricket in Jamaica, and I'm speaking based on someone who is, you know, vested in it. I am involved at from grassroots level up to the senior team, and it could be a blessing in disguise because we are struggling, you know, in terms of the cricket in our country. And so probably this is a wake up call for us. I personally would have liked to have a couple of games here. I mean, I know that a lot of support would supporters would come and at the stadium. But as I said, it happened this way, and I'm thinking maybe it's just for us now as a cricketing nation, or as a cricket loving people, to get up and show that level of what you call that now. That love that we need again, right? Because there's not a lot of what you call it now, cricket playing, quality cricket playing in the country.
Oh, I see.
And so you look at the school cricket, you know, grassroots level cricket is not where it used to be, and so we're struggling at the top as well. So to kind of produce cricketers from all over. And so I mean, we need support. You need money. I was watching the Carcom thing the other day, and this guy who is a new investor to the West Indies, cricket West Indies, was saying that whatever we plan to do, if we don't have money, it won't work.
Won't work.
So we need that level of we won't work money. So we need
Andrew.
We need our cash.
Jamaica will have 3 matches with South Africa there, May 23rd, 25th, and 26th. So yeah, this will be
warm up matches.
A chance for them to the warm up matches. So that will be a chance for Jamaica to play a part, and I'm glad that Cricket West Indies has scheduled the matches there, and also a test match later in November. So I don't think all is lost. I think it's the time to pivot and to see, you know, I know that we want the games to be all over the Caribbean where necessary, and I hope that you know, that will rekindle some interest in Jamaica and in international cricket.
I'm going to ask Nikita Miller a question, Andrew.
Sure.
Nikita, you've just had an election for the president of the Jamaica Cricket Association. Dr. Glaver was beaten by his vice president, Dr. Bennett, who is obviously very experienced. Dr. Bennett has been around for a very long time. I have to ask, has Dr. Bennett spoken to the former cricketers in relation to forming like a cricket committee to hear what these former cricketers from Jamaica have to say about the cricket, what has gone wrong, and what can be done to rejuvenate the interest of cricket in Jamaica again?
Right. So I am that is the politics side of it, and I haven't heard anything. I'm sure that I don't know. I mean, Darren probably may be able to answer you. You know,
Darren,
more accurately than I can.
Darren?
In terms of that sort of conversation, I haven't had any conversation with the new president. I mean, because, you know, I don't know if they're putting things in place. They're maybe in conversations that they've had, and so I haven't been involved in that.
You're a national team coach.
Yeah, assistant coach.
Assistant coach. Yes,
and the new president has not reached out. You or your head coach in discussion yet about cricket in Jamaica?
No.
Well, I haven't had a conversation with him. I don't know if he's had a conversation with the head coach.
Oh, that's interesting. Maybe yes, Darren, tell us.
I am listening. I'm gonna take it from the top right back to where we ended now. Wilson is not in the World Cup. No, Wilson is Jamaica is not hosting any World Cup matches.
Right.
That is from the beginning. I was saying it, that the politics of cricket in Jamaica has caused us. I'm not talking about the politicians.
The politics.
I am talking about the politics. This has, I was privy to a lot of, you know, not only information, but privy to the to see one-on-one discussion and negotiation going. And even from the Talawas doing that, it has nothing at all to do with the government. It has people who are believing because of the PNP and the JLP thing. People are holding sides because Billy vote on that side and that people come from that side.
Oh dear.
And that caused a big, big chaos. No, what has happened now, the warm-up match is going to be one of the biggest backlash we're going to find come next week when we have those warm-up games.
Okay.
Because people are going to come out and they're going to show that they wanted the World Cup here.
Okay.
What they do from there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The other part of it now is what Nikita is not probably in the sense of seeing or realizing. Dr. Bennett has been our grandfather for cricket.
Mm-hmm.
He serves at our alma mater. He comes right through the cricket and up on the cricket board. But he has been president, vice president for almost a decade, if not a decade or more. Now, what difference, I think, no disrespect to Doc, we had to change the president. But what difference are we going to make when you only change the president of the board? Doc is like you're moving from Donald Trump to Joe Biden.
Mm.
And you're going to come right back to Donald Trump.
Mm.
So, I believe you know, too many blames are being going on now by the board and by the government.
Mm.
When we were younger, I can remember, we used to have companies who sponsors most of the leagues in Jamaica.
Yes.
Now, most of what is happening in Jamaica, the companies who normally sponsors, they are not run by male management. It's a female management thing.
Oh.
So the love from that has differed. Same thing for the schools. You have more female principals than male principals.
Okay.
So don't care who. So we really need a real reconstruction of the whole cricketing thing. And I believe that we need to start it at the under 15 level and work on a solid program. Mm. But the program cannot work if the mindset is going to be, I'm going to blame that person. I am going to blame that and I'm not going to move. Nikita Miller is his assistant coach to the national team. And we have a man who is the president now, who have known Nikita personally and as a assistant coach. And he's now saying on this program that he has not met with the president. That is the same road they're going.
Mm.
We are in deepness.
Deep trouble.
Just
before we go,
because the administrators of cricket do not discuss cricket with cricketers.
No.
And I don't understand why they don't, because they undervalue the cricketer, and that needs to be corrected.
Mm-hmm.
Cricketers can make meaningful contributions to the development of cricket, like not be basketball or pick-up, but cricket.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where they're making the biggest error. And all of them started a couple of weeks ago in Trinidad. I feel that because they attended that meeting, that they know about cricket. No.
True.
They need to speak to the cricketers who are involved and get their feedback. Cricket in Jamaica is dying. And Dr. Bennett has not spoken to the national team squad, the team management yet. He should be the first. And they will call upon you. You know, the former players will call upon you to say, Darren, we have a little problem here. Let me meet to have a meeting with the press to discuss how we can get our cricket structure again.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what needs to happen.
Mm-hmm. I see. All right.
44
1790. You can give us a call. We're going to pause for our business calls pretty soon. I've got a question for you, Darren, but just bring Philip Spooner in here. Philip, how are you doing? Tell us about the general, in terms of readiness across all horse venues. Are you happy, Philip? What's happening?
Good evening, Andrew. Good evening to the listeners, and special good evening to Darren and Nikita, two gentlemen that I would have worked with before, two absolute students of the game. It's good to see that they're making meaningful contributions to the sport. Levels of readiness, Andrew, across the board, we're quite comfortable with where we are. There's still work to be done, obviously, to get the tournament up and running. We start on 1st of June. Before that, there'll be warm-up matches. Overall, there's a calm confidence, I would say, not only for the start of the tournament, but the fact that the West Indies will be able to show the world that this is still a hugely impressive place on the planet to play cricket and to enjoy the game. And alongside our colleagues in the United States, we will plan to grow the game to a new level, reach new frontiers, and bring in new fans to the sport. The sport is the fastest. It is the fastest growing sport in the world. We were in Toronto last weekend with Carlos Brathwaite at the Toronto Blue Jays, and we had 35,000 come out to see Carlos and the Canadian team. And the following day, we were at Niagara Falls, and we had about 10,000 Indian fans come out to see the trophy. So the game is growing at a rapid rate. There'll be no real small games in this tournament. I heard Darren and Nikita and Philo and Doc speak about what they expect. I expect this to be a wide-open World Cup. I was there in West Indies in 2012 when it was all back to the wall. Biting fingernails for every game. Dwayne Smith had a run out in a super over that took us to the semifinals. Had that not happened, we would have been out. And then I was there again in 2016 when the West Indies led the charge and played unbeaten up until a close defeat against Afghanistan, and then went on to win a wonderful semifinal and an amazing final. So there's many ways to gain this World Cup cap, but I believe this will be a wide open World Cup, and I believe one of the so-called smaller teams will spring a major surprise and make the semifinals.
Interesting, very interesting. 441-790, give us a call and participate. Let's pause for business calls. And when we come back, we hope to hear from you, Mason and guests, brought in association with the good friends at ASAP Wet Rum, the best shot of the day.
ASAP White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ASAP is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 da. What you want, ESA is the best shot of the day, is the best shot of the day.
All right, Mason and guests, just about 8 minutes past 7 o'clock, we go until 8 o'clock. And just before we come back to you, Nikita, Darren, in terms of the popularity of the sport, cricket, I mean, Jamaica is a country known for its athletics and, of course, football. I mean, I was surprised by the support, and I mean, you even cover all of your matches. Horse racing is also very big in Jamaica. Do you think that would have impacted in relation to cricket, the love for athletics and football? You think so?
No, I think I still believe that we have a lot of cricket lovers. I am privy to play in almost every competition in Jamaica. I play with the youngsters still in club leagues. And I play with them. I played Masters cricket. I move around between Clarendon, St. Anne, Montego Bay, Westmoreland, come back to St. Elizabeth almost every weekend and playing cricket. And there is support out there. When you look at the event that I held last year with Brian Lara, and about over 10,000 people turn up there. And then this year, we had a rescheduled game which was sold out, completely sold out. But the change of date for April 1st, when you look at the, we had cricket crowd. We didn't have that sold out thing because of the rescheduled date. But many people came out and come out to see cricket. And when you look at the schoolboy cricket, some venues you go, you see people coming out and watching. That means there are love for the game. And what is most evident now is that when I was attending school, we didn't have parents coming to watch us.
Mm.
We have the guys now having their parents and other, you know, family members journeying around supporting these cricket. So cricket is still alive. What we won't find easily is that big, gigantic support because of is an everyday thing. People don't back losers. Oh. And until we start winning at the national level and at the West Indies level consistently, you won't find that jumper crowd supported. And I believe, again, in Jamaica, what we have done, blame cash in resources in moving cricket. They play most of the games in Kingston at Sabina Park. And that is not the bulk of the crowd in Jamaica. You have to go rural to get most of the people to support the game.
Mm.
Bring the game to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that is where we are lacking, and people are believing that, you know, we are totally dead. We are not totally dead. It's just the mere fact that we are not dotting our I's and crossing our T's properly.
Oh, I see. 441790. This is Mason Guest. I'm Andrew Mason, along with co-host Dr. Andrew Ford. And of course, we've got fellow Wallace. Akeem Green has, in fact, he's been with us for a little while. Philip Spooner and Nikita Miller. And a little bit later on, we're going to be hearing from Carlisle Powell. Big challenge to Enoch Lewis, who's been in the job for about 11 years now. So we see another vice president challenging the president, and we'll see how that will, in fact, turn out. There's no doubt about that. Philip, let me come back to you. Things are smooth. Last program, we had two friends from Guyana expressing great concerns about not being able to get their tickets and all that sorted out. Is everything going well in terms of your box offices, Philip? Philip?
Yeah, Andrew, most definitely. Yeah, Andrew, can you hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear.
Okay, yeah, thanks. As I said, there's a calm confidence that the region will be able to deliver a high-quality international event. EBOC, things have been going well. We've had good support. Couple games seem well-populated in terms of ticket sales, and others that we're going to push really hard to get ticket sales up to that level where we expect full participation from the spectatorship. But we as many times before, we want it to be a wonderful international event where people can participate meaningfully and feel a real Caribbean buzz and vibe. Darren said that he made a very good point where you said the game is still well supported in Jamaica, but just that you're not seeing that that huge amount of support because of the nature, I guess, of results. But we want people to understand that notwithstanding, that this is going to be a magnificent international event that you want to be part of. And on June 29th, we wonderful if, when, not if, when we see a stadium full of spectators in what will probably be the best, one of the best international sporting events on the calendar this year.
Doc, any questions for Philip or any other members of the panel?
I want to ask Philip about Philip, I saw in the IPL, I got fan zones. ICC or Cricket West Indies put that idea on the table as yet? Because obviously a lot of the venues are sold out for certain matches, and there are people who really want to see the games. Will there be these fan zones around? And I know in Barbados, I've realized that you have a media hub. Is there going to be a media hub in all the other territories as well?
There'll be fan zones across all the venues, all the countries and cities that are hosting games. I believe one of the fan zones in New York is the Met Stadium, City Field, which is obviously a venue of more capacity than the venue itself. So the various options are being exercised. I believe we'll have one at Cardigan Village, but there'll be fan zones in all the countries where there'll be big screens and the ability to see the game as it unfolds, and obviously make purchases of your favorite beverages and your favorite food, etc. The media hub, I've been given the responsibility of putting together the media hub and managing it. It's the first time it's being done in world cricket. A wonderful initiative by the ICC. Only one, that's the one in Barbados. It's a situation where if you are in Barbados, but matches are being played in other countries, you can visit the media hub and have all the amenities that exist in a press box in any one of the other countries. And it's open, obviously, to accredited media only. And it's to facilitate viewing of the matches, the ability to attend press conferences virtually, and also to interact with other colleagues and have meaningful discussion. And we'll also be holding press conferences there. It'll be based at the Lloyd Erskine Sandiford Center.
Ooh.
And it is actually being the CNW Business Media Hub is being, as part of the sponsorship, unveiled with Flow.
I see. Fair enough.
Yes, yes, Philip. This initiative, having Flow being involved, is a good one. But I want to get back to the Media Hub, and I'd like to know if having the Media Hub will preclude journalists from actually going to the various locations to cover matches. Do you think that some may opt to just stay in the Media Hub so that they can, you know, they can be have access to all the venues all at once? Because, you know, usually we'd have the media on site. How is it really going to work there? Meaning, who do you expect to be in the Media Hub? Do you expect all the journalists, or do you expect just some of them to be, mainly the Barbadian ones, or who are you expecting to be there?
Answer that question, Doc. Well, it's a matter of choice. At the moment, it's open to everybody, so we don't know who will attend, but we're hoping that it will be well attended and there will be good participation. Obviously, the first choice I would imagine is wanting to be at the venue. So if you're in Barbados, you want to be at Kensington Oval. But if you choose to be somewhere else, you can easily access all the information, everything that you require as a media practitioner from the Media Hub. As I said, we will have press conferences there. So it's an opportunity also for persons to participate from there. And we will online, so which is obviously virtual press conferences being done from the Hub. So there's an opportunity there as well to participate from that location. It's a wonderful concept. As I said, it's the first time it's being done in the world. I've had meetings with World Athletic, with FIFA, CONCACAF, International Olympic Committee. We've looked at best practice. So we're trying to implement many of those things into what we'll be doing here in Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
Philip, do you perceive that a Media Hub could be used as a means for commentary, be it radio or otherwise, or is it just for journalists to write and to be involved in press conferences?
Well, we don't have it as part of commentary. We don't want Andrew present with his noise. on a serious
note, like a library then.
Or a nightclub.
Yeah.
On a serious note, it's as I said, it's the first time it's being done in cricket. So ICC has stepped into this element. It is a common thing in football. The one in Qatar for the last Football World Cup was able to hold in excess of 500 persons. The one in Barbados will have 200 ability to seat 200 journalists. And we haven't looked at the option of radio commentary from the Hub, but I believe when this is done well and all the correct elements of a sporting media hub are all the boxes are ticked, I believe in the future ICC will look at other options and to grow this initiative.
All right, 4341790 is the call number, 4341790. And we are very much getting to a time for commercial. We see a new driver, a fellow who always says, "Hello, fellow, has joined me. Are you ready, sir, to do a commercial? Are you ready?"
I was ready before I left home. I need to make some money.
All right.
Good evening, fellow. How are you, man?
I'm very well, Ken. So nice to hear you. I hope that you continue to be so wonderful.
But yes, I try to keep... the secret in that is keeping away from Andrew Mason. Let's do a commercial.
I hope you don't use Andrew's liver salts either.
I wouldn't be able to leave home.
Oh, my golly. All right. Mason and Guest brought in association with the good friends of ASAP at Rum, the best shot of the day.
ASAP, white rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come.
open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
Andrew, are you going to be giving away complimentary tickets?
Yeah, well, if I get them,
if you get them.
Yes, if I get them, I'll certainly do that. Do you want one?
You will remember poor Ken?
Yeah, I will. Yes, yes.
Well, thank you.
And Rich Fillow as well. Poor Ken and Rich Fillow as well. Fillow, are you coming down for the World Cup? Are you going to be here? Are you coming, Fillow? Would you be in the Caribbean?
I might, Andrew. My hands are full at the moment, but if I can get some of the weight off my hands, I'd definitely come up and be part of the World Cup experience.
Mm-hmm.
I've been, you know, I think I've... looking at the World Cup and how Philip has marketed it, it's very enticing.
Mm.
I think you have to commend Philip for what he's done. Just getting out there and getting the word spread and showing some culture from within the various Caribbean territories and also the US and Canada. I think that was fantastic. So you look at it, yes, you would see you want to be there. I'll make a big effort to get there.
All right, let's go and take a call. 441-790. I like that's interesting. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest.
Andrew.
Yeah, hi.
Good evening to you and your
good evening
guest.
To you.
I talk in World Cup cricket by sure. talking in a different way now.
Sure.
I want to know why every time I turn on my radio, I can hear them talking about security, security, security. We can be doing things and the cricket can be safe and this thing. You know, that reminds me of When you got a little child and you keep telling the child, don't do this and don't do that. And the little child wanna, but why he always keep telling me so?
Mm.
It makes me feel like if the bad people will want to test the security system here in Cambodia. I must tell the truth, the security issue is a big one, and I would like the cricket to be safe. But also, conversely, I don't want to hear this thing with security all the time. It will make people curious.
Curious.
If you understand what he's saying.
I see.
And I would like to hear a response from about that. Dr. Ford.
Yeah, doctor?
And I want, wait a minute, Andrew, and I want also to tell the doctor what was his thoughts about Friday evening show. Not Friday, sorry. Sunday evening show.
Sunday evening show. Okay.
Yeah, the bodybuilding show, that is.
Doc, did you go to the bodybuilding show?
No, I am retired and totally removed from bodybuilding as a part of life's progression. Andrew, repeat the question for me.
Yes, Doc.
The IFBB has been split into two, and we're in the weaker group. So I believe in excellence.
Right.
So
right.
You know. But what was the? Remind me of the question of the caller there, Andrew.
Well, the importance of security. He's making the point that every time he turns on the radio, he's saying security, security, security. It makes him feel as if something could happen. But security is important, isn't it? Very.
Well, with every big event, the possibility looms, and you know it's important. I'm sure the ICC and also all of our involved countries will be looking at security and trying to do their best. You know, this is done to try to spoil the event and to dampen interests and involvement. But you know, we would have had a security plan and tried to execute it even without a threat. And I trust that the. You know, hearing about one would only galvanize them to buckle down even more. So I hope we have an incident-free event and something that all cricket lovers can enjoy in the end and look back on fondly.
Seven.
I agree with you, Doc. I agree with you 100%.
Mm-hmm.
But my only thing is that I feel like if I'm hearing about security too often, which gives you a feeling that I'm feeling of discomfort.
Oh,
that's all it really is. But of course, they have to have top security.
Yes, indeed.
Because we're gonna have the whole world looking at us.
Right.
And we have to have not only top security, but everything has to be in top shape.
Indeed.
But I am only concerned really that every time I turn on radio, I hear the the security people talking about they can do this and they can do that. That's a little bit disconcerting to me.
All right. Thanks for your contribution. 441-790, 441-790. Give us a call and participate. It heads towards 7:30. Carlisle Powell has joined us. Carlisle, how are you? Of course, you're the president of the Nevis Association. How are you doing? And is there lots of, would there be lots of interest there in, of course, wonderful Nevis in terms of the World Cup? Hello, Carlisle. Nice to see you.
Hi, good evening, and good evening to your guests as well and all of your viewers and listeners. Of course, we're interested in the World Cup. Of course, people are getting more and more excited as the time draws closer. Mm. It's World Cup.
It's World Cup, right. So lots of interest, not only in your country, Nevis, but throughout the leagues, I would imagine.
Absolutely. And already you have teams in St. Kitts.
Right.
Canada is playing a warm-up tomorrow evening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so at least there is some involvement from local players along with the Canadian team.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, we're getting not World Cup proper, but we're getting warm-up matches leading up to, at least training camp leading up to warm-up matches.
Yeah, and Roland Butcher, who is with us. Roland, you are very much involved in relation to a team. Roland there on his wonderful one. I can see it's a top sell you've got there, Roland. The one that costs in excess of $5,000, I'm told, US. Talk to me, Roland. You are very much involved with Oman. How things have gone so far?
Sorry, Andrew. Good night to you and your listeners. And let's get one thing straight. It's a Nokia, and it's probably about $5 US dollars the phone I'm on. Mm. So nothing like what you have got.
Yes, talk to me.
And Philo would understand. Yeah, basically, Andrew, as Oman are here in Barbados, having a pre-tournament warm-up camp where they'll have three practice days and play three matches. And obviously, that's in preparation for when they come back to play two of their four games here in Barbados. So, you know, it's a good opportunity for them to get acclimatized to Caribbean weather, Barbados pitches, and so that they're fully prepared when the bell rings. That they're fully prepared to try and make an impression on the World Cup.
What role are you playing, Roland, little old man? What role are you playing?
My role? The role that I played is that they contacted me some time ago, asking me if I could organize a camp for them in Barbados.
And right.
That's what I've done, with the help of many others. That is exactly what we have done. The teams are here now. Half came yesterday, the other today, and they're ready to go.
Well, tell us about the matches that they're going to be playing in terms of those warm-up matches, Roland.
Yeah, the matches will be at the 3Ws Oval. They've got two games against the Barbados 11, and the third game will be against the West Indies. So there should be three pretty competitive games for them to gauge where they're at and help them acclimatize to the Caribbean.
And those dates for the games?
You know, it's also a great opportunity.
Pardon me?
You know, the fact that Oman, it's a great opportunity where the fact that Oman would be wanting to come to Barbados, it just shows, you know, the level of planning that takes place for the international game, even by a country that's less than a test-playing country, that they're still very much focused on preparation for a tournament.
I see. Very, very important indeed. Oman, very much in the Caribbean. Are you feeling the World Cup fever, Roland?
Well, I'm not really in a position to be feeling the World Cup fever. I've seen many World Cups. And I've seen a number in the Caribbean as well. So, you know, when the World Cup comes around, I will be as interested as anyone else to watch the games and hope, you know, it's a fantastic World Cup and we see some great performances and some great games and at the end of it, see you know, one of the teams crowned as champions.
And Philip, how important would these warm-up fixtures be? Very important, I would imagine, Philip.
Hugely important, Andrew, especially for the teams that are less traveled, the ones who experience West Indies conditions before. Nepal are presently in St. Vincent.
Right.
They played against the Windrush, won in the final over. You know, Nepal, coached by Monty Desai with Roddy Eswick as the assistant.
Right.
As Mr. Powell learned, Canada in St. Kitts, Oman and Barbados, and the other teams will be signed soon on the region and on the U.S. So lots of interest. This is a massive global event, Andrew, to appreciate. And as I said before, the level of interest in the trophy tour has been a preview to what we'll expect when the real deal starts on the 1st of June. So India will be coming, Andrew. England will be coming.
Yes.
Australia. Mm-hmm. So too will be Uganda, Namibia, and Papua New Guinea. So the world will truly be everywhere.
Akeem Green, what's the interest like there in Guyana? I know you've got a big match. Of course, the West Indies will be playing there. So we can start to gauge how they will possibly perform. Is there a lot of interest in the World Cup in Guyana? People are buying tickets, like hotcakes. Akeem, can you tell me?
Well, tickets would have started selling May 2nd. The box office sort of opened for, you know, in-person purchases. Slow thus far based on what you're seeing and you pass. But usually, you know, that is like a norm in some regards. I guess as the fever hits more when the teams arrive in the country and such. The trophy tour is going to be soon as well in Guyana. That could ignite even more persons going to the box office. But a lot of persons as well would have purchased tickets online.
Right.
But I know, for example, the semifinal, which if all goes well from an India perspective, they would be here for that 10:30 match. That's sold out. Does the party stand remains for that encounter? And certainly, I know, obviously, as the days come closer, generally, ticket sales would increase a lot for that opening encounter from Caribbean perspective with West Indies and Papua New Guinea. But, as days go by, I guess, and, you know, people get paid maybe month end, you know, more persons would head to the box office, you know, to secure their tickets.
So you said that game is scheduled for 10:30? The final?
The semifinal. Based on an ESPN report earlier today as well, and the tickets, it's 10:30 in the morning. Is that semifinal? Then the one in Trinidad would be 8:30.
And there's an expectation that India will certainly get to the semifinals. Hence, you want the cricket in prime time in India. Would that be the conclusion, sir? Logic is the science of reasoning. Talk to me.
Well, usually, as I would have mentioned earlier, that in cricket and in sport generally, TV rights broadcast, these things are the big bucks that pays persons in cricket right now. So without question, a lot of times schedules are and timings are set around that kind of aspect to ensure it's prime time for viewing, so that, you know, the broadcasters who invest big money into these tournaments can be able to reap some sort of reward. So it's not surprising. I think, Andrew, you would have noticed whenever India does come to the Caribbean, those are usually the times that the matches would be played, and many persons wonder why is it being played at that time as opposed to maybe setting it later at night to get more people out. But obviously, you would know the rights and stuff like that would supersede what can be again at times at the box office. So that's just, I guess, the new world order for sport generally.
Philip, can you tell us when the game in terms of time will be played for the finals? Can you tell us? You promised us 2 weeks ago. Do you have any further information on that, Philip?
Well, the answer is no.
So why did you promise me that?
Andrew, I didn't promise you anything. I told you I would look into it and see and I will let you know when the decision. So clearly the decision has not yet been made. But it will be a day game. The final will be a day game.
Maybe around 10:30. Philip?
Yes. You're allowed to bet.
I'm not hearing you, Philip. You've gone. I'm not hearing you. Talk to me.
There's nothing to say. You're not hearing me because there's nothing to say. I told you when the decision was made on the time for the final.
But 2 weeks ago, you promised me.
I don't have any information on the time for the final, so I can't update you, Andrew. along with what Akeem said, it is a fact. It's not just in cricket, it's in football. you get the times varying.
Right.
As Roland would, he's a football coach, and so the times vary according to what time and when it best suited to
can you imagine
so that's
at Kensington Oval at 10 o'clock in the morning, West Indies are playing against who? Oh my golly, haven't even had
that didn't happen in 2010 though, Andrew. In 2010, England, Australia at Kensington, it was a day. I was maybe a bit young, very young then, but it was a day match, right?
It was a day match,
yeah, it was, and the women was.
And the women?
Yeah, I was there, Andrew. It was a day game. England, one of the women, played a little bit late. Ended at 7 o'clock.
I see. Fair enough. Okay. All right. Stay with us, gentlemen.
I guess the question is, why have governments invested so much in lighting to just be a legacy benefit to the grounds? You know, to try to get
there
it
are, there. There are night games as well. So if you want to play at night, you need lights.
Yeah, okay. But the really big ones, the really big ones, we're missing out on.
Yes.
You know? There are no small games in the World Cup. People will tell you that. There are no small games in the World Cup.
Well, Philip, I think the entrance price for some games suggests that you aren't correct.
They're high-profile teams with high-profile players. No small games. Every game is a big game.
Huge.
With a premium on it.
Huge.
So everybody's going to play. That's why you wrote or man early.
Yes.
And I think the television stats will show which are the big games and the small games. And that's reflected in the cost.
Higher profile game.
Right. Higher profile.
Doc, you need a recalibrate, a rethinking of the concept.
I think I need to speak in a more politically correct way. Okay,
well,
No small game. The economic value of each game is top dollar.
Brilliant.
And no, on a serious note, gentlemen, we all appreciate exactly what Akeem said, and we know why the structure is as such, and we appreciate that the Indian market, the biggest market, not only in cricket, but one of the biggest markets in sport in general, because baseball teams in the US are now trying to get into India. We know the football, India's hosted football World Cups already, and they've hosted Commonwealth Games. It is before India get an Olympics, right? And we appreciate that. So this is no small, versus big. This is, everything here is massive, and the Caribbean will get a real sense of global sporting, about what the global sporting landscape is like when they see this tournament. This will be a massive event.
Massive.
This will be the thing the Caribbean had ever hosted, full stop. We will not do anything like this in a very long time.
Indeed.
True, it's true. But Philip, you must agree that we'll never see the Super Bowl or the World Series or any important
this baseball is our Super Bowl.
On the night this baseball, you know, in the Indian market. But I understand the US is a much bigger market. They have their own following. And I do understand we're small and we are, you know.
But we are small geographically. We are very big in terms of hosting this big global event. June the 29th is our Super Bowl. And a billion.
Yes, definitely.
A billion people.
There's no small anything here. I don't think we are small because we are hosting one of the biggest sporting events in history.
It's true.
Philip, do you expect big crowds at Kensington? Apart from the finals and the game when Australia are involved?
I do, Andrew. I genuinely do. Ticket sales have been going well in Barbados, and Barbadians have.
How well, Philip?
Prime Minister, come.
How well?
And get varying levels, obviously, because obviously higher profile teams playing. But there will be there won't be any games where you say, "What the hell is going on here?" It will be visible crowd, and there will be a lot for the fans to do and participate in as well. A lot of activities are being planned to make it a real festival for fans to really want to have. We want a situation where when you leave the Monday night, you said to yourself, I got to go back to that Friday night game, because Monday night was the best experience I've ever had at a sporting venue. I want to get back there for Friday night because they expect it to be better. That kind of thinking, that kind of event.
Stay with us, Philip. I don't know if you know, because I'm told that you are on Carlet Powell's campaign team, because he's with us now, Carlet Powell, the president of the Nevis Cricket Board. He's the vice president of the Nevis Board, and he's actually challenging Enoch Lewis. And you know Enoch Lewis very well. He's been at the helm for 11 years now. And Carlisle Powell from Nevis joins us. Carlisle, why would you want to challenge your president?
Simple reason. Just to make sure that we improve the cricket on offer in the Leewards, and to make sure that we have a better governance structure in the Leewards. And I say this for two simple reasons. During the presidency of Mr. Lewis, we have had one 3-day competition in all of that 11-year period.
Ooh.
So we have people who have been coming up and going through cricket, and there are some persons who graduated from the under-15 program to the under-19 program, but there was no program for the under-15s. We simply have not had competitions for all that period of time. Name me one territory in the West Indies, one territory in the region, where they have not had a domestic competition. Domestic, in our sense, is among the islands. We're 8 member territories. And we had one super competition in all of that 11-year period.
Unbelievable.
I'm saying that this has to change.
This how long have you been sitting as vice president?
Only this term. Only this 2-year term. I became vice president 2 years ago. So this term ends now.
So the other board members didn't see what was going on?
Well, obviously there are some murmurings, and there is some dissatisfaction with the fact that we have not been playing tournaments. But the thing is, you don't just have some murmurings. You must have a plan. You must come to the board and say, listen, this is what I'm offering. And when I issued my flyer indicating that I would contest the presidency, I made it clear that one of the chief goals is to play our tournament. You simply, listen, place 3rd in this year's competition. You have to commend the Leewards, have to commend the coach and the players, but how much better could we have been had we had regular 3-day competitions between the islands?
I see.
But how do you choose your players for regional cricket, for their cricket?
That's a very good question. We have a franchise. We have had one competition over the last 11 years. So it's a very good question. How do you choose the players for the franchise?
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Listen.
Yes.
This is the same road that Jamaica Cricket Board, our cricket association, is coming from. And they blame each other. The point, I am happy to hear that you want to do it, and I'm looking forward now for you to come and do it. Because it's the same road that drives Jamaica national team down. That I'm going to say something, you know. The last 2 competitions Jamaica senior team held is the CEO named a 30-man back to the state where we fight. And that is what is happening to you there, Mr. Powell. You need to find cricket lovers to build cricket. I look at Nikita Milan and in 2 games at Sabina Park this year. And the man is walking around the field. Trying to instruct players, like when you're playing under 15, under 14 cricket. What kind of thing is that at the national level?
Nikita, I agree with you. Nikita, is that true?
And I feel your grief there, Mr. Powell. I feel your grief, and I hope to God, when you do, and if you do win, you find the people who love cricket and put them there to work with you.
Carlisle, do you have former cricketers on the Leeward Islands board?
Enoch Lewis.
But I small. I said cricketers.
No, that's it. You see, that is the challenge that we face. We have to have a more inclusive approach to Leeward's cricket. And I'm not saying this because I'm looking to get into Leeward's cricket. I've been there. I was president of the Leeward's board and a member of the executive committee of the West Indies Cricket Board before I was 40. I managed the Leeward when we had, and not just managed and won when we had people like Ambrose and Jacobs and Williams and so on. I'm accustomed to Darren Powell and I'm accustomed to Philo because I manage against these guys when they played.
Right.
I know what it is here as an administrator, as a manager. And my own son played cricket for the West Indies, so I've seen it from all the angles.
Right.
I'm Mr. Powell.
I'm not here because I want to be a member of the Leeward's board or the president. I'm here because I believe that we owe it to the players to turn around the cricket, offer them the chance to play.
Mr. Powell, what's been the limiting factor to you not being able to play the cricket that you've described? Is it financial? Because I find it difficult to understand why so many years have gone by. And I'm sure the idea of playing cricket hasn't been lost to the group that's been in management. There must be a reason that we can understand why cricket hasn't been played. So what is the limiting factor?
Well, people will tell you finance, but the Windwards are separate just like us. They come from different islands and they find ways and means to play their competition.
Right. So how do you plan on solving the finance problem that has been limiting what you your vision of what you want to do?
Well, listen, we have to make greater efforts to attract sponsorship to Leeward's cricket. The last major sponsorship that I can think of that came to Leeward's cricket was in Najiko's sponsorship for One Day Cricket, which I negotiated when I was president, and I've been away from the presidency for nearly 20 years.
But that didn't preclude you from
the effort to get sponsorship.
That didn't preclude you as a member from finding sponsorship while on the board.
No. I was not a member. I was away from cricket from since 2005. I was from 2006. I became a member of the government, of the cabinet, and I stepped away from cricket. I only got back into cricket again in Nevis 4 years ago.
Okay.
So I've been away from the cricket.
The ministers of sports in the various member islands, you don't think there was a vision from them to want to accomplish what you think is missing now?
I can't speak for them, sir. I am sure that when you talk to people, everybody will give you the same story. That we're interested in the cricket. We're interested in this three-day cricket. We want to see our guys playing three-day cricket at the Leeward's level. But if everybody is so interested, why are we not doing it? Why are we not doing the way to ensure that we carve out a schedule and get it done?
Carl, you said three-day cricket. Three-day cricket you're talking about is the Nevis having three-day competition, tickets having three-day competition.
No. That is... when we meet at Leeward's level, it's Antigua, with the cricket. The only difference, instead of going for 90 overs, we tweak it a little bit and we go for 105 overs.
Okay, I see.
Okay.
I see. Carla, where are you going to get your support? Where are you going to get your support?
Listen, it is not support for Carlisle Powell. It is support for Leeward's cricket. I am speaking to every single one of the member territories of the Leewards, because listen, Carlisle Powell is not looking for anything for Carlisle Powell. I'm looking to see how best we can serve Leewards cricket.
I want to ask the question again.
How many votes you have to secure to be president?
Yes.
How many votes you have to secure to be president?
There are eight members.
Eight members.
Eight. So you need five of those eight.
And you got the five sewn up already, Carlisle?
I'm talking to everybody. One thing with me as a politician,
this is what I'm asking.
You never ever call the election before the election votes have been. The other Powell is laughing. You never ever call the election before the votes are counted.
Yes, I mean,
so, but your eight votes come from which territories?
You have Antigua,
right,
Montserrat,
mm-hmm,
St. Martin,
mm-hmm,
Anguilla,
mm-hmm,
St. Kitts,
mm-hmm,
Nevis, USBI, and British VI.
Ooh.
USBI, VI, and British VI.
British Virgin Islands and the United States.
Yes, Virginia. I know. They're under your
yes,
wing.
Yes,
that is correct.
That's where the 8 votes, Philo. So you spoke.
Saying, Andrew, is that you hardly hear anything
from them
coming out from British Virgin Islands or U.S. Virgin Islands in relation to Leeward Islands cricket.
Mm.
They are members of the Leeward Islands Cricket Association. Mm. I hope I didn't forget St. Martin, but that's
No. You mentioned St. Martin. Casey Carty, I'm sure you'd have spoken to Casey Carty, and he would bring you the St. Martin vote, wouldn't he? Carlisle?
He's not the delegate to the Leeward vote.
I know.
He's not the one who votes.
I know, but
it's one person who represents. The person who represents those territories, individual territories, on the Leeward Islands board. Are they the presidents of those boards?
Right.
Not necessarily the president of the board. Because in the case of Anguilla, USVI, St. Martin, the president is not the delegate who comes to, not the director who comes to the board.
I see. Now, I want to ask the question here. Have you spoken to Enoch Lewis already and said to him you're running against him? Have you spoken to him, Carlisle?
Not directly, but I made sure that I put the flyer in the chat with the Leeward Islands directors.
Mm.
So he is fully aware that I'm contesting the position of presidency. But you see, listen, the cricket is not enough cricket.
Mm.
It is not Carlisle's cricket. It is bigger than all of us.
Mm. Carlisle,
is not Carlisle enough.
Mm. Do you have a good relationship with your president?
We speak.
What does that mean?
We have a curious situation.
What does that mean?
We have a curious situation in the league. In that the vice
president. Moments there somewhere in the league.
Listen, the vice president in many ways.
Yes.
Has been a ceremonial position.
Okay.
It is not necessarily at all times an involved position.
Mm.
So it is not that discussions, and I found out that today was going to be the day when the nominations would be announced. I, like everybody, like most other persons, I woke up to an email that said that nominations close on the 22nd of May.
Mm-hmm.
We had no discussions on that matter.
Okay.
How often do you meet as a board?
Right. Good question. How often?
Those meetings are irregular. They are irregular. They are not set meetings to say we meet every month.
Right.
So there is no set schedule for meetings.
Mm-hmm. So who's going to?
You said you put your flyer out in your chat group.
Yes.
I hope that everybody can see.
Mm. I'm going to send this.
No people care that they don't see things.
Mm.
All the directors can see the flyer.
Mm.
I hope they're not blind.
About WhatsApp, if you put something by WhatsApp, you can check to see who read it.
Mm.
Okay. So, what I'm saying is that you have a president who is sitting for 11 years. You have irregular meetings, but yet you have a board who supports the president or who have supported the president for 11 years with so many inappropriate things happening.
Mm.
But Leeward's came third in the first class season, which should be commended.
Right.
Because again, as I told the young man who came on, Seth Smith,
right,
he played for Queen's College. They don't have a pavilion. But we look at facilities all the time, right? We look at the interests of the players.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if that is what you're running your campaign on, the interests of the players, the cricketers, I think that you stand on the ground, because the players must be the priority of cricket.
Right.
Because once you've got committed players, you will get success. And the Leavers will get that success if the players buy into what you are looking to do.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you want to get the support from the other seven territories.
Yep. Carlisle,
you're spot on, but I think you are ahead of him. You're speaking on the terms of when he become president.
Oh.
Because where he needs is to try and secure the votes first.
Those five
the
votes.
Players can't get him the votes. And you see what is happening in these territories. When you go into an election, you have people whom are supporting because of a cause and not supporting the cause of cricket.
Mm.
So he has a big task in winning 8 votes or 6 or 7 votes first.
Mm.
That's the biggest issue for him right now.
Caroline?
How can he change the minds of who supported this man for this 11 years?
Caroline? Yeah, but his concept is the right concept for cricket, not for position.
Yeah, Carlisle?
No, but those people who are going to vote for him not thinking about his concept.
Yeah. just to finish with Carlisle, so the elections are going to be when? Do you have a date for the elections?
Listen, we know that the term for the president and the vice president expire on the 22nd of June.
Of June.
Which is next month.
Mm.
So there has been a call for nominations.
Oh.
But I am yet to see anything says which is, when is the date for the election?
Mm. Mm.
Politics.
My mother came out said when the terms expire and when the nominations should be sent.
Mm.
But I haven't been issued anything that says when is the date for the election.
No, Carla, in the interest of time, we just got another couple of minutes left on the show. You've done your campaigning. Are you confident? You are a former minister there, of course, in Nevis, and of course in St. Kitts. Do you think you've got enough support to win? Talk to me.
I think that I have enough time to galvanize enough people to understand that this is about cricket.
Mm.
It cannot be for the good of cricket that for 11 years under one president, we have had 1 3-day competition.
Oh my golly, that's terrible.
Cannot be.
All right.
And
Carlisle.
There is one other issue
which
has to be made clear. The board in late 2022 agreed that we needed to work on our constitution. We sat down in June of 2022 in June of 2023 and agreed all of the amendments that we require for the constitution, including term limits. Remember when I told you in June of 2023, a year later, we have not seen the constitution as agreed by all the members,
oh my God,
by all the delegates.
That's a serious thing.
So we should have had term limits for this election.
Oh, yes.
We have issued a call for nominations and we are not clear whether or not the can has been kicked down the road for a year to facilitate him running again.
Oh my golly. Carlisle, we're going to leave it there. Of course.
I'm sorry, but I have to talk clear and plain.
I know. Very, very clear.
Can't tell all the directors agreed
in
June of 2023 what we want, and we want term limits. It was unanimous.
Unanimous indeed.
But a year later, has not found its way into the constitution.
No, oh my golly. It seems as if your victory is going to be unanimous as well. We want to thank you, Carlisle, for coming to the show. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on. We're going to have you back again. Let's hope that we can get certainly a date for the elections. You're challenging the president, Mr. Enoch Lewis, who has been in the job for about 11 years, and we certainly look forward to the election. Thanks to you, Dr. Ford, for being on the show. Thanks to you, Philo Wallace. I understand you're going to be very much a part of Carlisle's campaign. Thanks to Roland Butcher. Thanks to my good friend, Darren Powell, Nikita Miller, Philip Spooner. I'm Andrew Mason. He's hoping for a better tomorrow. It's good night.
ESA feel like rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.